We continue the story of Joshua, and so we're in chapter 4, verses 1 and following, and this is the story of Joshua and the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here in the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you, and lay them down on the place where you camp tonight.'" Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites, whom he had appointed, one from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord told Joshua, carried them over to the place where they camped, and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. The priest who bore the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua and the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people crossed over in haste. As soon as all the people had finished crossing over, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in front of the people. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the Israelites as Moses had ordered them. About 40,000 armed for war crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for battle. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. The Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan." Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." When the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up out of the middle of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This morning I want to think about remembrance rocks as we continue the story of Joshua and the people of Israel and victorious living. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard a story about this church in a great snowstorm, and the snowstorm was so bad that the pastor had a difficulty getting to the church, and he waited for people to arrive, and the snowstorm was so bad that just the pastor and one old cowboy showed up. The minister said to the old cowboy, he said, "Well, I'm not quite sure whether to have worship service or not. What do you think?" he asked this older cowboy, and the cowboy said, "Well, let me put it to you this way. If I went out to the pasture to feed the cattle and only one showed up, I would still feed that one cow." And so the pastor said, "Oh, very well." And he was so inspired that he preached his heart out. And 2.5 hours later, he wrapped up that message and he looked at the old cowboy and said, "Well, what do you think?" And the cowboy said, "Well, pastor, let me put it to you this way. If I went to the pasture and to feed the cattle and only one cow showed up, I wouldn't dump the whole load on him." So we won't go 2.5 hours this morning, but I'm not sure if that relates. But, you know, attitudes are important to us in all of life. And I don't know if you know this, but the Super Bowl is coming up next Sunday. And there's two great teams that are playing, and they're not the teams that I wanted to play, but they're still great teams and great players. Now, I don't know that I know everything that the coaches are going to tell those two great teams with great players and great talent that have played a great season, and they really are. I don't know what the coaches are going to tell them, but I can tell you one thing that they will tell them, that both of them will tell them, and they're going to talk to them about their attitudes. And why are they going to talk to them about their attitudes? Well, because both teams have a lot of star players. They have a lot of talent. But even star players, if things start to go bad, they can kind of have a mental breakdown for a moment. They can have a lapse and it could break their concentration, and both of them are going to face another great team. And so facing the challenges and adversity of the other side, they might have difficulty with their attitudes. And so the coach is going to talk a little bit about attitude. And then at halftime, no matter how things are going, good or bad, the coach is again going to talk to him about attitude more than anything else. And so our life, too, we have to think about our attitude and how important our attitude is. And Joshua, in this moment, is about to learn a lesson about how we can control our attitude in some ways, how we can sort of have an anchor for our attitude and have a stepping stone into the future for our attitude and build on the foundation of the present. And that's an important lesson for them and for us. And as I was telling the youth here this morning, I don't know if you're like me, but if I do go to the seashore or even up to Lake Michigan, the shells aren't quite as good as I'm sure they are in Florida or Hawaii or wherever, but they still have seashells, and sometimes it's a special day, and Savannah and myself will just say, let's find some special seashells or some stones. And sometimes we found some stones that look like a heart, and that's like that's a special find. We're going to save that. Or we find a seashell, and sometimes we've been on a hike that's been special. We find that little rock, and we have a jar at home. We put those in, and there's another place. We got so many rocks, we have about three different places for those rocks. But they remind us of special times that we've had. When things are going bad, especially, you kind of look at that and you're waiting for a vacation or the weather's not as good as you'd like it, you can look at those rocks and say, you know, we've had some great memories. Here's some jars that remind us of all the times that we've been blessed in so many different ways. And I think that's part of what God is trying to teach Joshua and the children of Israel in this morning's reading. It's a powerful time. And so there they are. They're lined up on this bank of the flooded waters of Jordan, and God has told Joshua that the ark, the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and 12 men, one from each of the tribes, needed to first take their step into the water, the first step into the water, and then the waters will stop flowing. And it's during flood season, so that takes a step of faith. You know, it's one thing to go across the Wabash River or the Tippecanoe River and during the July when it's kind of down, but if you're there in flood season in May or something, it's pretty treacherous, and you think about crossing over with your children or something like that, and so it's dangerous. But he's told them that he's going to be there with them. He's going to have them take a step of faith, and if they do, he's going to be faithful and stop the waters from flowing. And that's exactly what happens. And so the children of Israel are crossing over, and not surprisingly, they're in haste. But then Joshua hears another word from the Lord. And Joshua, in the middle of all that, hears the Lord tell him to take 12 representatives, one from each of those 12 tribes of Israel, and have them go out and right where the priests are to find 12 large rocks and to carry them to the side. And they're going to create a memorial wherever they camp that night. And that's going to be a special moment for them. And I have some here, some slides for just a moment. We're not sure now. This is from near that area, near Gilgal and Mount Gerizim. But there's so many rocks, you're not sure which ones they are, but there's one place where they think there are 12 rocks that were special, and then some of the archaeologists have lined up those rocks. They didn't find them that way there, but and then there's an altar there that is all those are there today. So there's a lot of significance there and places where we can find some verification of that, but more importantly, God was teaching them a lesson, and that lesson was about thankfulness. That lesson was about remembering what God has done, because that can really do a lot of things. And Joshua says this will be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Those stones did a number of things, and the first thing they did was to celebrate the past. They were times when the people would be, were feeling that things were difficult, and they could look at those 12 stones wherever they were, and they could go there and say, you know, these 12 stones are important in our life. They remind us of how faithful God was when he stopped the waters of the Jordan, and we want you to know about that and celebrate the past. And there were also something about building a foundation in the present. As the people crossed over that Jordan River, they were about not just to strike a camp, but they were about to face the giants in the land. People that seemed like giants. They said, literally, we seemed like grasshoppers before them. And so there was walled cities and fortifications, and there were seasoned soldiers and armies that were experienced in warfare, and they had to face them. And so as they built that sort of a memorial with 12 stones of how God had stopped the waters of the Jordan, they were building their strength of their faith for the moment they would face the battle that lay right ahead of them. It was also sort of a stepping stone to the future, and sometimes we just think about the battles that we face, and we forget that our children will face battles as well. We forget to instill in them the moments of faith that God has been faithful in our lives, and so they'll be able to look back on that and say, God was faithful to my parents, and God will be faithful to me as well. Listen as the story continues in verse 20. It says this, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. God wanted them to share this visible reminder with their children, with their children's children, for generations to come. And I think that's powerful for us. It was powerful them and powerful for us. And in fact, Joshua was so moved by that that Joshua took an extra step, and Joshua himself took 12 stones and put them right in the place in the middle of Jordan in front of the priests standing before they went up to the side. And that very evening, as they gathered in that camp, the first thing they did was to celebrate the Passover before they faced battle. And so they made those stones and they made an altar before the Lord, and they were empowered by the past, and they celebrated what God had accomplished in the past in the Passover, but they looked forward to what God had promised in the future. And so we can learn from that to celebrate the past with whatever way we make that. And we can learn to build a foundation to present for us as we face the battles that are before us. And finally, we can make it a stepping stone into the future and empower our future as well. And I wonder this morning, how are we doing those very same things in our life and for our children and our children's children this morning? And you think about, for a moment, all the different times in our life where God has been faithful. And have you taken a moment and sort of celebrated the past? And there's some memento, not an expensive memento. We're so influenced by culture, and we think the best mementos are the most costly. And sometimes it's the simplest things that we don't even buy that can be the greatest memento. And I mentioned how Savannah and I have these seashells and these rocks. We think they look like a heart or something or a moon. And it was just a moment that we shared, but they're special for us. And I have these. I have some of Grant's beads up here that remind me of Grant and his focus and his goal and his big heart and how much that means to all us. And I have a cross that I wear. And that's something that I had lost my cross one time, and I was kind of upset about that. And I thought, well, wait a second, let me just take a moment, and Savannah and I can go out and we can buy one together. And it'll be some special, we'll make this moment special. And there's other things I had with the confirmation class. We've had a number of the seasoned sort of soldiers of our congregation come and share their journey of faith, and they brought in some things. They brought in some of their things from their confirmation class and their Sunday school pins and different things, and they were weathered and worn and tattered, but you could tell that they were valuable, that they were memorial stones, they were remembrance rocks that meant something to them, and they shared that with a new generation. And so it helps us to celebrate the past, but it also helps us to build on the future and to build on the present. And Savannah and I also, one of the things that we did was when I was growing up, we always had this, it was kind of, I thought it was silly for a long time, but it was this little plastic sort of bread thing. It was about this big, and it looks like this really cheap thing. It said daily bread on it. And there was a bunch of cards with different scripture verses. And before we had dinner at night, we would read these verses, and then we took turns reading. And sometimes we were really in a hurry because we were really hungry, and we did the speed reading thing, and it probably wasn't funny to my mom or my dad, but we did it. But the important thing was we did sort of cultivate within us this strong sense of God's word in our life. And of course, we said a blessing. And I came across one of those. I don't know how I got that, because I know that was from, you know, 30 years ago or something. But I found one of those, and I shared that with Savannah. I said, we're going to try this. And she kind of mocked me a little bit. But now it's become sort of a something. And it is just as cheap and whatever. But those scripture verses are something that you can share and say, you know, this is something that was important to me, and I want God's word to be important to you in your life. And that attitude of thankfulness is important in our life. You think about different ways to celebrate Christmas and Easter, and there's a way you can do that's just maybe commercial or just about culture, but there's a way that you can do that is special and sacred, where you say, these are the reasons that we celebrate these events. Christ's birth and God's love come to us, and Christ's resurrection and the power that God holds over all things, including our future. Paul writes how our thankfulness should be a part of all of our lives, and he says this in Colossians 3:15 that Matt read earlier, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Paul is saying, listen, let everything that's about your life be about thankfulness, and share that with one another in a special way to encourage one another. And finally, for us to empower our children to have a future that really matters. And you think about that for a moment, and how important it was for these Israelites, for their children and their children's children to say, this is an important part that of our life, and that God met us in this time of need, and God will meet you in that time of need. And think for a moment, as they celebrated the Passover, one of the things that Jesus, as he celebrated the Passover with his disciples, and in Luke 19, verse 22, says this, and Jesus took the bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we gather around the table of the Lord, we really do all three of those things. We celebrate the past, and we build on the present, and we empower our lives for the future as we gather around that table. And have you shared that with your children and your children's children, how important that is to you? And this morning, I just want to challenge all of us to think about, are there at least maybe they're not 12 things, and I know one was for each tribe, but do you have 12 kind of memorial stones that you can give to your children and say, these are ways that we celebrate life. These are times that God has been faithful to me. And I know that whatever you face in life, that God is going to be faithful to you. And there's times where you're going to face giants, or the river may seem like it's flooded, but know this, that God has been faithful to our grandparents, and God has been faithful to us, and God will be faithful to you. Think about that this morning. I'll close with a couple of thoughts, and one of them is of Jacob. We've been studying Jacob in the Wednesday night Bible study, and all these different things that happened in his life. And sometimes when we think about Jacob, we think about the great patriarch that he was at the end of his life, which he was. But the fact of the matter is that early in life, he was pretty much a scoundrel. And that's how he started out. He cheated his brother out of his birthright, and then he cheated his brother out of the first son's blessing. And he so feared for his life from Esau, his brother, that he had to flee with nothing. And he's on the way to his uncle Laban, where he's really going to have a lesson in life and the sort of the master manipulator. And on the way, he has nothing. And he is so desperate that all he has is a stone to lay his head on. And in that moment, as he lays his head on that stone, and he literally is between a rock and a hard place, nothing on his back, and he's done anything in his life that seemed remotely spiritual, but he has this blessing from his father. And as he sleeps at night, all of a sudden he has this vision of this ladder, these steps going up to heaven, and angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And he hears God's promise of his forefathers come to him and say that he will be with them and he will be faithful, and God will assure his life of a blessing. And he's so moved by that. Then he says that, Lord, if you'll be faithful to me and allow me to come back someday to my home and be reconciled to my brother and to be in peace and bless me, then I'll give you a tenth of everything that I have and I'll follow you wherever you lead me. And he's so moved by that that he takes oil and he anoints that stone that had just been sort of a stone to lay his head on. He was that desperate, but that becomes a holy place for him, and he names it Bethel, where God was faithful in that moment. And for generations to come, he'd come back there, and that would be a holy place for all the children of Israel. And so the place where he was most desperate and he was most probably aware of his inadequacies and his sins and shortcomings, God came and met him in that stone, and he anointed that stone, and it became a remembrance rock for him. And it became something that he celebrated that moment, and he looked to the future knowing that God would bless him. And I know that he shared that with his children and his children's children. So this morning, I want to challenge all of us to do something. And maybe you could do something to create that for others. This week, I had a special moment. I went down to visit Daniel and in the hospital. He's got leukemia in Peyton Manning's hospital. And he hadn't received one of our Bibles that we give the fourth graders. And I said, would you like a Bible? And so I got one from the cabinet. We got a few extras in there, and I took it down there, and I asked him how he wanted it signed, and I filled it out in front of him, and I gave him a little note, and we had a little prayer, and I put some markers in there, and he said, here's some scripture verses that might help you when you're having a bad day. And so you have a moment, maybe you can share something. You can give someone a Bible, or you can give them a scripture verse or something, and it doesn't even have to be our children. It'd be someone that you're going to visit in the hospital, and some little memento, and say, listen, God has been faithful to me. God has been faithful to my family and to my grandparents, and I know that God will be faithful to you. Just claim his word. And just when you're having a moment, just sort of put your hand on the Bible or put your hand on this rock and say, this is something special. Put your hand on the cross and say, God loves me this much that he gave his life for me. And so I challenge all of us to take moments that are maybe just seem like they're not so sacred, but then all of a sudden God comes to us in that moment and we see something. It maybe it's just a stone or it's a cross and something ordinary, but God has made it special and say, we're gonna celebrate the past and we're gonna keep this fresh in our lives, and it's gonna be a foundation that we can build our life on that's rock solid in the present. And it's going to be a stepping stone to empower us in the future. And I'm going to tell my children and my children's children that God is faithful. And that's going to shape my attitude in a powerful way in this day and every day to come. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, as we think about this great story of Joshua and the children of Israel crossing over the Jordan, how it reminded them that you had taken their grandparents across the Red Sea before them. It reminded them that you were faithful in every moment of life, and they knew that they would face the giants in the land opposite. And so they took these ordinary stones and they became significant because they reminded them of you and your power and your faithfulness. We pray also in our lives that we take these special moments and have mementos that we can share with our children and with our children's children, that we would pass on the baton of faith in a special and powerful way, always reminding them that you are faithful no matter what the obstacles and challenges and adversity that we face. Help us to keep our faith fresh every day as we celebrate the things that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.